My version of this process contains 10 steps, which I've segmented into three sections. The three sections are mindsets, then visioning, and then manifesting. Let's start with mindsets, which is section one and step one. And I'm going to ask you to skip all the way to page three. Before I go into it, I want to define what I mean by mindsets. They are the attitudes, approaches, mental models, core beliefs about ourselves, core beliefs about the world, mental and emotional states, and stages of personal development. So I'm defining it very broadly. And in this context, our mindsets impact and define and qualify our clarity, our effectiveness, our energy level, our focus, and our ability to persist and persevere. Mindsets are the foundation. We could build a beautiful home on a really weak foundation. In the long run, it could possibly be for naught. So we want a very strong foundation, and it's the mindsets that are going to carry you through. So I'm assuming that everybody has the workbook, and I'm going to ask you to skip all the way to page three. So again, I already described mindsets, and they are the linchpin. I mean, they are the foundation. They are what's going to basically determine whether we succeed or we don't succeed, because we're just masters at psyching ourselves out. We're masters at getting distracted by the urgent that's not necessarily the most important. Myself too. So I'm not pointing the finger. It's easy to get caught up in my own thinking of, I can't. Oh, that'll never happen. Well, I don't really deserve that, do I? And so I'm going to offer you a methodology right now, and I'm not going to lay it out and describe the whole thing, but I just want to give you this resource, which is, the author's name is Byron Katie, B-Y-R-O-N, last name K-A-T-I-E. She has a book called Loving What Is, and there's also an audio program. The reason that I prefer the audio program is because you actually hear her working live on stage with people. People who have had incredible trauma, and 20 minutes into the conversation, she's got them laughing and really seeing things from a different perspective. So whereas, for example, Marshall Rosenberg's process, Nonviolent Communication, focuses on creating a high quality of connection between people, and that's really where that methodology excels. Where Byron Katie's methodology excels is in dissolving stressful thinking. And in particular, core beliefs that we have about ourselves or about others. So it's one useful tool in this place of generating mindsets. Now, one of the mindsets that's not listed here is that version one is better than version none. In other words, I want you to adopt the mindset of being willing to take imperfect action. I'm a recovering perfectionist, and I know how easy it is to become totally paralyzed because I want the thing to come out perfectly, and there's an old saying, the perfect is the enemy of the good. And that's because when we shoot for perfect, we miss entirely. We miss every time. So when you're working on your vision and then the manifesting piece, be willing to take imperfect action. Be willing to go for it, and you'll learn in the process. If you try to make it perfect, you might end up not doing anything at all. So make it fantastic, make it fun, make it amazing, make it exceptional. Don't try to make it perfect. So here's some of the other mindset principles that I have in the workbook. You know, one is trust the process. So, you know, check it out. Try it on as a hypothesis. If you have concerns or issues come up, let me know, and we can talk about it, we can discuss it, rather than you fighting or resisting the process. Now, here's a mindset that is really hard for some people, but I want you to be thorough. You know, manifesting your dream property or your optimal health, that's no small feat. That's a big deal, and I want you to to have fun in the process of leaving no stone unturned. Another one in here, don't rush it. Go as fast as possible, but as slow as necessary. As soon as we start cutting corners and rushing, oh boy, then we try to speed up a process. It's like taking a rose bud and resenting the bud for being a bud because it's not a fully bloomed rose, and we want to rush it instead of letting it have its own timing to bloom. And if we try to go in there and try to open up this rosebud, we damage it. So don't rush it. You know, definitely go as fast as possible, but also go as slow as necessary. Another one, don't let the naysayers get you down. These are often internal voices. So this is where nonviolent communication is very helpful in terms of listening to those voices, offering them empathy, and then sharing also what's true for us and dissolving those internal conflicts. And this is also where Byron Katie's work can be so helpful. On the next page, page 4, I've got a few there. One is tell everyone. I wrote, be willing to enroll the universe to help you out. You really never know where that gem is going to come from. And this is a mindset piece. Now, I'm not saying tell everyone now. This is when we get to the third section around manifesting. Once you have your super, super clear vision, that's the point at which you're going to tell everyone. You're not going to keep this a secret. I want you to notice how the universe conspires in your favor. But all it needs from you is your clarity. So that's why we're going to start with the vision before we get to the manifesting. Another mindset piece is that it's a long-term process. So think of it not as a 100-yard dash, but more as a marathon. Now, maybe you're not a runner and that analogy is not for you. That's fine. Pick whatever analogy you want. But this is a longer-term process. And again, this goes back to don't rush it. The next one, this is in the top three pieces of advice I've ever gotten in my life. And I got this from Doug Bullock at the Bullock Brothers Farm where I learned permaculture design. He said to the whole group, he said, dream big and go for it. After all, what do you have to lose? There's billions of years before us, billions of years after us. And our life is short, so let's dream big and go for it. And a couple of expressions here that I also got from different people. How good are you willing to let it get? And its correlate, how good can you stand it? If you've ever noticed yourself sabotaging your own efforts because it's getting too good, and maybe we have a core belief that life has to be hard. Well, sometimes it is hard. Sometimes it's you're going uphill. But when you get to a plateau, don't pretend it's uphill. How good can you stand it? So sometimes we do undermine or sabotage our own efforts when things start getting too good. So I want you to increase your capacity for letting it be awesome. Now, I've got a few more that aren't on here. Well, a couple more. Preliminary research that one of my mentors, Joe Dominguez, did on in his financial integrity program. And what he noticed was that people whose purpose was more about serving others and more about the bigger picture tended to have the stick-to-itiveness. They tended to be able to persevere. It gave them the staying power, as opposed to the people whose purpose was mostly self-centered. If you're doing something from a more self-centered motivation, you're less likely to have the staying power to see it through than if you're doing it from a higher motivation that's about the big picture and about being of service. I'll share one more mindset piece. And again, you may end up reviewing this recording just to get these reminders. I'll call it this. The only way to eat a hippopotamus sandwich. Now, if you picture a hippopotamus, I mean, it's the size of a small car, right? Between two slices of bread. An overwhelming task. So the mindset piece that I'm suggesting to you here is really that the only way to eat a hippopotamus sandwich is one bite at a time. The only times that I get completely overwhelmed is when I want to see everything happen at once. I want to get everything done now. As long as I'm willing to just keep taking the next bite and the next bite and the next bite, then I really make progress and I can really gain some momentum there. Allow for stepping stones. Sometimes we don't have an internal yes, like capital Y, capital E, capital S, exclamation point around a specific place. But it's not a no either. And when we look at the options that we're aware of, maybe we have a small yes, or maybe there's something that's like the best thing that we're aware of in that moment. And so I found it very useful and helpful to allow for stepping stones in the direction of whether it's my dream property or whether it's other goals and objectives. So any questions or comments at this point? I see a hand up. Lauren.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. Quick question. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Salisbury, Maryland. I'm working right now over here.
Fantastic. Well, let's hear
it. I was hearing you talking about being willing to take imperfect action.
Yeah.
And I really resonate with that a lot. I think perfectionism is also something I'm learning to work with every day. And something I was wondering about was there were two questions that came to mind for me, and one was whether you have any suggestions around keys or kind of symbols, I guess, or almost like things that will tick off that we can know that we're behaving in a way that's maybe a little bit perfectionistic, so that we can almost have these like points that we can acknowledge, like, okay, that's clearly what's going on. And that connects to my second question, which is more so I'm always concerned or confused about what the line is between holding really strong to one's integrity and one's values about a project that you're working on versus being perfectionistic. I don't know if I, and that might even be just an internal question that one has to discern for themselves, but I'm just curious about your thoughts on that.
Thank you. Yeah, as far as that second part, you know, I think it is an individual judgment call, and there's so many things to balance and weigh out. I don't have the exact quote, but I want to paraphrase a quote from the spiritual teacher and author Gurdjieff, when he said that, again, I'm paraphrasing, we want to balance what's effective with what's agreeable. In other words, holding the line to your integrity when maybe that doesn't work for the people around you. And that's what he meant by agreeable. So we want to work with the relationships as well as with our own internal compass of integrity and commitment to high quality, that kind of thing. But that, so I do agree with the point you made. I think that is an individual judgment call moment to moment. As far as the perfectionism thing, you know, there's a very, very close cousin, which is just staying in your comfort zone. There's something that is kind of counterintuitive that I think might be really helpful here, which is that, you know, physiologically we have three brains. You know, we have the reptilian brainstem, also known as the limbic system. People call it the lizard brain. Surrounding that is the paleo mammalian brain. It's the same brain that we share with dogs and horses, you know, rudimentary emotions that other mammals have. Then we have the cerebral cortex on top of that. So what happens is that the lizard brain is a part of our mind-body system that evolved during a time when, you know, there really could be a saber-toothed tiger around the corner. And so that part of our mind says, play small, hide out, don't put yourself out there. And what I've really grown in my ability to do is to discern some of the different voices of fear, because they're really very distinct. There's a certain voice of fear that tells me not to cross the freeway when, you know, there are cars driving by at 60, 70 miles an hour. That keeps me safe. I like that one. But the one that says, hide out, play small, don't put yourself out there, when that part of my mind is freaking out, I know I'm on the right track. I never would have done this class. I can't even tell you how nervous I was in the lead up. And it happens every time. I've been doing classes, workshops, teleseminars for years. And I still feel that edge of nervousness. And, you know, it would be more comfortable to just sit on the couch. But I'm putting myself out there. I'm risking that you won't like what I have to share, or that you may really dislike the content or dislike me. So when that part of my mind says, stay safe, is freaking out, I know I'm on the right track. So the perfectionism is a little bit similar because it can become our comfort zone to be nitpicky about things. And when we take imperfect action, a part of us gets nervous because we don't know if it's going to work, or, you know, we're just trying it out. But when you look at, here's an example. When you look at the software industry, if somebody, some software company puts out a piece of software and they feel really good about it, they've dotted their I's and crossed their T's and it's great, that means that they're taking too long to get to market. So they're willing to put out version 1.0, then get feedback, and then 1.1, 1.2, 1.3, eventually 2.0. So it becomes iterative. So we learn and we improve and we keep moving forward. So, Lauren, I'm curious whether any of this is helpful.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, this is definitely speaking to what I was asking. Thank you.
Great. Excellent.